Good morning. Let's find our place. Remain standing or stand if you're sitting. And let's worship the Lord through song as we sing out, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." Let's sing this out.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin. The people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender,
joining us for worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Community groups meet most Sunday nights and resume this evening at 6 p.m. Tonight we will be using last Sunday's morning message and study guide as the launching point for the discussion. If you are not yet connected with a Sunday p.m. community group, please visit fbcwixom.org/community groups for more information. Young adults have an archery tag event on Tuesday, September 13th. This event will be held at the Total Sports Complex in Farmington Hills and costs us $10 per person. Please see Bradley Tice if you have any questions.
The first session of the E3 Starting Points class will be at 9:45 next Sunday, September 18th. The Starting Points class is designed to engage attenders in the church life by answering 5 key questions about FBC. If you have never attended the Starting Points class, you are encouraged to attend starting next week. Next Sunday, September 18th, is Hometown Heroes Day. Please help us welcome our city employees and first responders. We will have an abbreviated worship service, followed by lunch for our special guests.
In just a few minutes, we will be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we'd love to connect with you. If you'd like more information about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning. Hope that you're well. We enjoyed a great Sunday school hour together, and we're glad to see the rest of us able to come in the last few minutes, and good to see you this morning. I want to mention just a couple of additional announcements. This morning you heard Holden say that the study guide from last Sunday morning's message would be used for community group studies tonight. There are extra copies in the back on the podium, so if you do not have one of those, be sure to pick one up today. Last Sunday, if you remember, we were in Titus chapter 2, which is really a great passage on discipleship. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, it ties very nicely together with the conversation that Pastor Tim brought today. And we hope that you will pick one of those up and join us for community groups tonight. On Friday night, if you missed being with us, you missed a really great time for the church family as we gathered together to talk about strategic development. The purpose of the banquet that was on Friday night was to communicate a couple of building project proposals coming up in the next few years. And in the back, or in the link actually, on the coffee table, as well as some of the tables in the link, there is this little booklet that has much of the information we discussed on Friday night. If you did not get one of these, you should stop and pick one of these up. There's several copies for you back there. Secondly, this afternoon or this evening, we will be sending out a link to the church family, a video of the meeting on Friday night. So if you missed it, you couldn't come, but you wanted to hear what was said, I would definitely encourage you to watch that video. And here's why. 2 weeks from this morning, on September the 25th, we will end the service with a special business meeting. And the purpose of that business meeting is for you to consider the deacon's proposal to spend $30,000 of the development fund to enter the design phase for a bus facility. Now, if that is all foreign to you, pick up one of these books and watch that conversation online tonight. If you were with us on Friday night, you know what we're talking about. I hope you've been praying over it and considering what the Lord might have us to do. The goal, as we mentioned on Friday night, is to steward not only the resources that God has graciously given us, but the opportunities to reach our community with the gospel. We want to steward those resources and opportunities well. And so please pick up one of these booklets, watch that video, and let's be praying about that special business meeting on the 25th of September. Again, we're super excited to see each of you this morning. Looking forward to our time in the Word. The music has already been a blessing to my heart, hopefully to yours as well. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we gather together this morning. Father, we're so grateful for what we've already heard today. We're thankful for the truth that was shared with us in Sunday school about the purpose of this body, that we are to be edifying ourselves through loving conversations with each other, that each relationship represented here is for the deeper purpose of spiritual health and unity. May you lock that truth into our minds, even as we spend time in worship today, as we think about following Jesus together. We want him to be magnified. We want his name to be high and lifted up today. So as we sing, help us to focus on him. As we listen to your word preached today, help us to focus on your truth. And please give us the commitment and the courage to obey your word today. We love you. We thank you for all that we have in Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
Stand together again as we continue to worship the Lord through song, singing out how deep the Father's love for us.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that we should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as who could mourn the chosen. Behold.
so thankful for the fact that my salvation is not based on anything that I can do. Far from it. It's based on the power of our Almighty God and His amazing love for us. So as we sing out this next song, I want you to think about that truth. You are secured in the very hands of God Almighty. He will hold me fast. Let's sing this out together.
When I fear my faith fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold, through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold, He must hold.
Singing, you can be seated. I'm going to read a passage of scripture this morning that was laid on my heart as we were preparing to sing this song, emphasizing God's amazing mercy. And it's found in Titus verses 4 through 6. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. I was reading this verse, and it emphasized His mercy coming up in the following verses. But if you look back at the context, what is He talking about after that? It emphasizes the sinful state in which we used to live. The life that we were enslaved to, as Romans chapter 6 talks about. We don't live there anymore. We live victorious through Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness, verse 5, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm so thankful for God's amazing mercy and grace in my life.
Alone, I couldn't find my place till heaven reached down, Your love called my name. Out of my shame, out of the dead of night, into a hope, into Your marvelous light. It's Your mercy. I don't deserve Your mercy, that You would reach down. be glorified, be lifted high in all my life. Be glorified.
Though I may run, though I may fall on, chasing this world, things that will break your heart. But faithful and true, sure as the rising sun. One thing that's true, one thing is sure to come. It's your mercy. I don't deserve your mercy, that you would reach down for me and keep me as your own. For your glory, I'm living for your glory, and I will tell the story of your unfailing love. Be glorified, be lifted high in all my life. Be glorified, be glorified, be lifted high.
That you are good, and you're walking with me just like you said you would. And all that you say, every word is true. Oh, who should I trust? Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, I've tasted and seen that you are good, and you're walking with me just like you said you would. And all that you say, every word is true. Oh, who should I trust? Jesus, I trust in you. Be glorified, be lifted high in all my life. For your glory, I'm living for your glory, and I will tell the story of your unfailing love, your unfailing
love. Amen. Keith, I have the red one now. Thank you. Sorry, I keep switching mics on the sound guys. What a blessing. Thank you, Jeremy, for that song. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before or not, but pastors need to have pastors. You ever thought about that? They need guys that they can look to for example. They need guys that they can reach out to for encouragement. They need guys that are modeling things for them. And Pastor Tim Potter, our guest speaker today, is one of mine. I have a few. I get to have more than one pastor, and he's one of mine. Even though he's pastoring hundreds of people on a daily basis, from a distance, he's a leader to me. And so it's very special for me to have him and his wife, Rhonda, with us today. I told you in Sunday school this morning, some things stand out in my mind when I think of Tim Potter: discipleship, church planting, but encouragement and loving people, I think, is really how the Lord is using him to bless other pastors and other churches. I'll tell you a quick story this morning. I have a friend that I grew up with who was pastoring out near Denver. And a few years ago, I was going through a very discouraging time in ministry. And so I thought, just out of the blue, I thought, I'm going to call this guy and just talk to him and see if he can help me, see if he can encourage me. He's that kind of person. He's an encourager. And so I called him, and he was driving in his car, and he said, "Brad, I am not too busy to talk to you, and I would love to encourage you, but I don't think this is the best use of our time." And I was a little surprised by that. He says, "What I think you should do is call Tim Potter." I'd never met Tim before, but here was Tori's testimony: if you need encouraging, this guy can encourage you. So over the phone, he gave me a cell phone number. I called Tim, also a busy guy who was busy doing what pastors do, and he picked up the phone, and Tori was exactly right. Tim was a big encouragement to me and a big help in my own spiritual journey at a very important time in my life. The primary purpose for Pastor Potter to be with us this morning is to introduce a ministry that he leads called ARCH, A-R-C-H Ministries. And he has been a help. This ministry, ARCH Ministries, and Pastor Tim have been a help to us as a church, even if you've never heard of it. Even if you say, "Wow, that's the first time I've heard that name," they've been a help to us. They've been an encouragement to us. They are the producers of much of our discipleship materials that are out there on the shelf. And so we really appreciate ARCH Ministries. In January, the pastoral staff, you might remember this last year, we were all gone for a week down in Florida. We were at the ARCH National Fellowship that Tim was leading. And so the deacons and I reached out to Tim, actually to ARCH, and said, "Hey, can you send somebody to tell us a little bit more about this ministry?" And he volunteered to come himself, which we were pretty excited about. So we're happy to have you here, Pastor Tim and Rhonda. Thank you for spending your morning with us. Pastor Tim, come share the ministry of ARCH with us and then preach the word to us today, okay?
Good morning again. Some of you for a first time, thank you for letting us encourage your pastors and their wives. That's a blessing for us to do that. And you folks are wonderful friends to us. I hope that just keeps getting gooder. And the more we can interdependently function together in that kind of encouragement, I think the more substantial our gospel outreach can become. I grew up in a style of Christianity that was very much about big personalities, big names, and big institutions. And all of those things God used in my life for a lot of good reasons. But as I read the New Testament, what the Lord keeps laying on our hearts collectively as pastors is many hands make light work. And when you look at the New Testament, you see an interdependency among like-minded people for a reason. And that's an eternal reason. Right? So ARCH Ministries really is about connecting like-minded ministries for the furthering of the gospel. But let me tell you a little bit about the nature of ARCH Ministries. Now, I've got to do this and preach, and we're out of here at 11:50, right? All right, tell me the truth. Does he get out on time every Sunday? Okay. I ask for a reason, because I typically try to replicate my ministry after the pastor's ministry where I'm speaking. So is it 11:50 or is it 11:45? 50. I'm going to go with this guy right here. 11:50. You look like you might be a timekeeper yourself, right? Is that your wife with you? Is he a timekeeper? He's good. Okay. We all are in a certain extent, right? So I'm going to do this, but we're going to preach, and we're going to say, "Let's pray at 11:49. And my wife's saying, "Yeah, right." She knows. So the nature of ARCH Ministry, it's local church-based. That's what I think I appreciate about it the most. As a pastor, I've always wanted to know, how one local church could be used in Acts 1:8 ways to the fullest extent. Typically, we have to partner with parachurch organizations to help the church do that. I'm so thankful for parachurch organizations in my life. Okay? But I always wondered, as a pastor's kid and then as a pastor, what could Grace Church of Mentor, what could the local church do together? Because the marching orders of the Great Commission were given to the church. What could we do together to advance the gospel in a much more efficient manner? And as you look at the New Testament, you read it again and again and again and again, you certainly see teamwork making the dream work, so to speak. You can't really get away from Grace working with Wixom and Wixom working with Sterling Heights, and Sterling Heights working with Troy, and Troy working with the small rural town where Josh Putnam is, right? There, it's like-minded places functioning together for the cause of the gospel. Yeah, you can remain autonomous and independent, but never at the expense of interdependency for the gospel's sake. So we wanted out of Grace Church of Mentor to have a church planting. The blue dot on the horizon for Arch Ministries is spiritual reproduction. Out of the disciple making of the local church comes spiritual reproduction of other churches too. Each local church understanding its by its very nature to be spiritually reproductive within, we're going to be spiritually reproductive without. We just kind of do it together. So Arch Ministries is just connecting like-minded churches nationwide out of the local church, okay? And we seek to identify. We want to find where like-minded churches are. We want to give something to them. I grew up as a pastor, you know, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I've been a pastor this 54 years of my existence, okay? And really saw a lot of my dad's friends struggling in ministry because they were taught to do it alone, right? And so I want to go out and find these people, and then I want to give them something, literally give them something. If it's a $20 bill or it's a trip of our church. We just got back from Wisconsin, and we helped the church refurbish their lobby. Or flying them to Florida and paying for their plane ticket to come to Florida. We want to find you. We want to gift you because that giving is encouraging. And that's what Grace Church of Mentor wants to be. We want to be an encouragement and support. And we want to strengthen. If as churches gather that are found and gifted and we can strengthen them, maybe through the disciple-making seminar or materials or through a regional fellowship that we have out of the local church or out of local churches, or whether it be flying pastors and their wives to Florida for encouragement if they couldn't normally afford it themselves. We seek to strengthen them through these and many other ways as well. And then we want to partner with them. Say, oh, I see a little bait and switch going on here. Hey, at least I'm being honest about it. But for me, the blue dot on the horizon is an eternal purpose in spiritual and planting together, right? So if we can partner and connect by state and region with the goal of more efficient church planting, then it's not about the me, it's about the we. We want to help churches get planted in Michigan, right? And Michigan may and then may be able to work together to go over the pond and help Wisconsin. Right? So right now, by God's grace, we have, I believe, 11 states with at least 5 pastors per state who are working with each other now on monthly Zoom meetings to find more people who need pastors who need encouragement in each state, to gift them, to strengthen them, to partner with them so they can have more efficient gospel outreach in their own state. Our goal is to get all 50 states functioning that way out of the local church without the help of parachurch organizations. That's not going to exclude parachurch organizations. We want to partner with them, and we are. We just want them to be encouraged that local churches are doing the work. Okay? Because Jesus said the gates of hell won't prevail against the local church. okay? Anything that's not the local church kind of has a shelf life, okay? So when it's about eternal purpose and doing the gospel together, the more the merrier. And then I'm confident, I tell all my parachurch really, really good friends, I said, I'm confident that you would not mind us sending you more people out of the passionate work that's going on here for this to work with us to send them to do gospel work. So yeah, we want to partner for this reason. We want to plant. We want to strengthen and network churches to more efficiently plant across the country. All right? So our purpose is to promote efforts of local church and national church planting, highlighting successes, experience, and future opportunities. We want to assist church planters in establishing and strengthening their ministries through edification and fellowship with other church planting ministries, and to uphold church planters through encouragement in their sacrificial, sometimes lonely, ministry, with the goal of transitioning supporting ministries into self-supporting ministries, and to unite balanced Bible-believing pastors together to support church planting efforts and to create a network for churches or believers needing church planters. All right? A little bit of vision, a couple slides here, and we'll move on into the sermon. We want to take established churches and church planters across the country, interdependently laboring together towards gospel advancement through church planting. And we want to be as efficient as we can about it. The partnerships formed within the Arch Network provide strength in numbers, resulting in potential savings of time, money, and other resources. Okay? I grew up just outside of Amish country. And I can remember when I was a little boy, my dad took me and my brother John and out to Amish country to watch a barn raising. Familiar with an Amish barn raising? The whole community gets together to help one family put up a barn in one day. They start at sunrise, right? And all the ladies and daughters, all the ladies, they get together, and all day long they're fixing a feast because that barn is going to be up before sunset. And as they near sunset, they all gather for the big feast and celebrate the raising of the barn. And I can remember when I was a little boy seeing another little Amish boy. He had a little tool belt on and his little Amish hat and a plastic hammer, right? Walk out to the barn with his grandpa. And his grandpa was rugged, right? Seasoned carpenter. And he had a real man's tool belt on with a real hammer and a few other tools. But he went with his grandson out to start helping build this barn. And that little grandson stayed with him probably as long as his, you know, 4 or 5 year old little brain kept him undistracted, right? But I don't think that grandpa saw his grandson expendable to that project. I think his grandpa saw him as absolutely essential as he was to that project. When I was growing up, only churches of, we were taught this, only churches of 500 or more could plant churches. Well, we learned this morning, well, 93% of churches in America, it knocks them out. Forget that. I don't know that I see numbers in the New Testament like that. But if we could work with every church, no matter what their size, to help them know that God's plan for them is to be part of the spiritual reproductivity, wouldn't it be wonderful if Wixom was comprised of just 30 people in this section here, and you knew that you could participate in some way at a plant somewhere in northern Michigan, and just be excited by that. It might not be your plant out of your church, but you can participate in planting. Size doesn't matter. We want to find everybody. We want to give to them strength and partner, and we want to plant with them as many as the Lord will allow us to do. Okay? So we want to identify or plant one like-minded church in all 3,000 plus counties in the United States. That's our goal. By working together with our sister churches and other like-minded organizations, we aim to reseed the United States in a New Testament normative pattern where churches remain autonomous yet interdependent upon one another under the glory of God to the furtherance of the gospel. And you can take a deep breath. That's a long sentence. All right, so a little bit of what our map looks like now. And God's allowing it to bleed over borders. And we're not spending much time on this, folks. I'll be honest with you, my wife can attest, pastoring is a minimum of a 70-hour-a-week job, typically 80. and I love my people, I really don't have time to promote Arch. But I'm telling you, it's like disciple making. You don't have to really promote it if it's the nature of how something exists. You're like, God the Spirit gets behind that. So people call a lot, and we're super glad to meet them and to know them and to begin working with them. But this is just different parts of our world where folks are popping up wanting to own the same vision and direction that I just shared with you. Because I think it's a biblical one. It's not a Tim Potter one. It's not a Grace one. It's just in the Bible. And as they hear it and they say, yeah, that sounds like when I read my Bible, I think we could do that here. That brings us together and we can do a lot more efficient things together. Okay? And so when I do move into overseeing Arch out of Grace Church of Mentor, and that could be sooner than later, it's going to be a blessing because I can keep my membership at my home church that I've been at for 51 years. And I can stay on staff as their missionary to church planting to Judea and Samaria and othermost parts of the world. And it's all in a local church setting. So in a disciple-making environment, pastors in time probably won't be staying until they're 65, the American ripe old age for retirement, to live off their 401k and their investments and then continue to pastor where they wish. It's a little bit more intentional in a disciple-making church, right? I'm 54, and our next team, we've been able to lead to Christ, disciple, and they're ready to go, right? And I couldn't be more excited about that at 54. People say, what are you going to do for the next 10 years? Do you have enough money? I've never functioned that way. I just want to do what the Bible says, the best we can with our hands and feet. It may not work for every church. But I'm excited about our next team coming where we can get out and give more attention to this full time. And that's going to be, you know, dates not set specifically, but it's certainly going to be not 65 years old. And we're excited about that. Okay? The different colors of these icons represent now different parachurch organizations outside the local churches. So the purple would be local churches, but the others are parachurch organizations that have called us that say, hey, what's going on? And how can we be a part of it? Which is a huge blessing to me because we didn't reach out to them. We didn't throw them under the bus. There's nothing to throw them under the bus about. They're godly, good people doing a great thing, but their missionaries are lessening and lessening. Right? They're not locally church-based, so they're realizing that they have a shelf life, right? And they just want to know what God's doing through the local church, which is super exciting, right? So may that increase more and more. And I assume once full time is given to this, that a global gospel network of like-minded people is going to be something God would like. All right? So, a couple years ago, if you were in Michigan, we had 6 church planters. Just kind of give an optic, a visual of how this all works together, right? We had 6 church planters come to Florida. We had Logan, Utah, Massachusetts, Nebraska. These are the folks, okay? And those folks were all helped. We brought them all 6 up front, they all gave their presentations. Everybody there in Florida was sent their presentations and their information and their references from their own local churches, right? And after they gave their presentations, we divided up the whole country into different sections, prayer sections, Northwest, Midwest, Mountain West, Southwest, you get the gist. And we had each one of these planters at each prayer session go and pray with a different part of the country. Right? And after they prayed, they were able to get out their list of what they needed. We needed 50 chairs. We need a construction trailer. Someone come out and help us build a shed. We need this, this, and this. And then churches in that region, each one could say whether they could plant a church or not. Yep, we can do that. We can help with that. We can help with that. We can help with that. And they men they never met before. But because they were like-minded and they were there and it was intentional, and a lot of people can't plant a church by themselves, but participate in a plant of a church. All those guys left incredibly excited and are all planted. And now there's just a whole lot more people aware of them around the whole country. for prayer and so forth. I see that kind of going on steroids as we go forward. The more we can find and give and strengthen and partner, we can plant together better. So that's Arch Ministries, all out of Grace Church of Mentor, Mentor, Ohio. If you have any other questions, you're welcome to extend all of them to your pastor. Just kidding. I'll be glad to entertain them as best I can. Was that okay, Brad? Okay. I don't want to overstep my bounds or understep. I've never been an asker. We just kind of go and do, and as God provides, He provides, and it's exciting to see more folks getting interested. Titus, you say, come on, your pastor's going through a series on the pastoral epistles. Yes, I know that, and I know he's in Titus, but I got his permission to do this because I thought it might be an encouragement. Let's go to the book of Titus. We're going to give an overview of this book in relationship to one phrase in this book that's used more by Paul to Titus more than any other book in the New Testament. And it's the phrase, good deeds. Good deeds. Okay? We want to look at three things this morning as we close out our service. I want to look at the nature of good deeds, the nurturing of good deeds, and the next things of good deeds. Nature, nurture, and next things. If you were here for the Bible hour at 9:45, we looked at Ephesians 2:10, where the Word of God tells us that we are God's workmanship created unto what? Good deeds, good works. In Bible preaching churches like this one, it's become uncomfortable for a few decades now to talk a lot about good works. And you could probably assume why, right? If you're in our area, 85% of our area has a religion in it that teaches them good works get you to heaven. Right? And we know from what our song leader said this morning, Jeremy, right? Right? Johnny's in Ireland visiting his family. That's awesome. That it was God who acted upon our hearts. That's why we are who we are. But Paul's not uncomfortable talking about good deeds. And he squarely says in this text that religious people that had come in to unsettle the flock that Titus was given to oversee tried to perform deeds, but Paul said their deeds were wicked, because they were done with religious intention. As a matter of fact, if you go down here to the end of chapter 1, okay, says this is the testimony, verse 13, is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So Paul's not uncomfortable talking about good deeds, but he's certainly going to do it within a proper context. Religious people seek to do good deeds, but if it's mere religiosity, it's mere philanthropy. It's never done with eternal purpose because they have no gospel that would compel them to do a good deed in Christ's name alone. They'll try to do them, but they're worthless. The good deeds that Paul's talking about here in the book of Titus are not the good deeds that man without Christ can do because they're made in the image of God. That's not his context here in Titus. We can go out into the community and we can immediately see how common grace has influenced Wixom. Infrastructure, structure, functioning businesses, buildings being built. Common grace. Because man's made in God's image, they can do really good things. Because man's made in God's image, communities can take care of each other. Right? That's not the nature of what Paul's talking about here. Okay? There's nothing wrong with those good deeds. Religious people inside the church that try to do good deeds inside the church to distract people away from why we do good deeds are to be warned about. So I want to be clear, but Paul does talk about good deeds, and everyone in the room that owns Christ needs to understand the nature of what he's talking about so that that can be nurtured so that we can get on to these next things. What's the nature of good deeds in the book of Titus? It's two different texts, one mentioned this morning already before our special music was sung. Chapter 2, verse 11. This is the nature. This is the formation of, the foundation of good deeds. For the grace of God, that's Christ, has appeared bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So the nature of good deeds, right? That's the hands and feet of grace in this text. And where did the grace of God begin to operate in our lives? It's when God sent Christ to die for you and me, and by the Spirit of God we were placed into Christ the moment we were born again, and we became his workmanship created unto good deeds. Right? God and his grace enacted this upon your soul. He kind of says the same thing in chapter 3 again. If you'll go down here to some familiar verses. Remind them, Paul to Titus, to the people that he would be shepherding. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good deed. It's kind of on to the next things in our third point. But here to the nature of good deeds and where they're sourced. Verse 3, for we once were foolish ourselves and disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of our God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds. Remember, that's what the religious ones taught in chapter 1. Which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, this is our conversion experience, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. All right. And here's a purpose clause in the Greek language. All right. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in what? In good deeds. Good deeds and the born-again experience are juxtaposed to one another when we understand the nature of good deeds in the book of Titus. You really can't have one without the other. God did this in your life. God the Father did this. You did not do it on your own. Right? And since it's his conversion, then it's his change he brings on your life. And so that when we go to do the performing of the good deeds, which we'll finish with this morning, right? That's God's grace. That's the hands and feet of God's grace through you to your community. We don't want to skip. We're going to keep going along here. Right? I would imagine you would, John chapter 11, if we were with Christ and his good friends and family there outside Lazarus's tomb. Jesus went, he wept. You're familiar with the famous text there. Great Easter Sunday morning text too. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, right? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Jesus could have just stood there, said that, and wept, and just stayed quiet. and Lazarus doesn't come out of that tomb. Lazarus is dead. So what's dead mean? It just means you're dead. You can't do anything for yourself. Right? But when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, the God of creation speaks recreative words of omnipotence, and he can speak life back into the dead. The dead responds because of what God has empowered him to respond to, right? When you're spiritually dead, it's the same thing. You're dead. You didn't choose God. God spoke to you. Because Ephesians 2 says, not just you're his workmanship, but you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you hath he quickened and made alive. God spoke words of eternal life into your soul, and your soul woke up. That's the nature of this thing. God saved you. God's grace sustains you. God's grace enables you now for proper purpose to go and to perform good deeds. Right? And those good deeds are first done inside the church. That's really the nurturing of this. Your pastor, I'm going to let him pay attention to all the nurturing aspects of the book of Titus. He already said this morning as an announcement about Titus chapter 2 and all the discipleship language there, the older teach the younger and so forth. The nurturing of good works inside the church, that's the front lines, if you will, of good works. You're saved, you're equipped, and you function with good works among one another to the strengthening of the body. All right? Paul tells in chapter 1, the elders, this is who you got to be so that you can minister with integrity. Chapter 2, the older and the younger. All the way down to enacting the good works of some kind of hard decisions you have to make sometimes. In chapter 3, we're supposed to reject the factitious person. Your translation might say the heretic, but that's not a doctrinal heretic. That's a person who just likes to cause division. Right? And after you admonish and talk and they don't respond and they're still divisive, they're to be dismissed from. That's a good deed. That's a hard deed, but it's a good deed. But that has to be done sometimes in the end of the day so the church stays strong, so the church can stay nurtured. So from elders in chapter 1 all the way down to doing a hard thing in chapter 3 and numerous things in between, you are the nurturing together of good deeds in the church, and it's necessary. And God's grace does that. But then there's the next things. There's the next things that I'd like to point our eyes and attention to as we close this morning. Go back with me to chapter 2 and verse 10. Good deeds function and are nurtured inside the church for a reason, my friend. It's so that good deeds with evangelistic intent, remember the nature of good deeds. The nature is this is what God did in you so that you would. Inside the church and now outside the church. And if you look at verse 9 of chapter 2, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters and everything to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. In every respect. It's interesting to me that we can take on an average, 2,000 years of our life and pack it into these two verses, our work life. The average American spends 2,000 hours a year working. And then Paul says here, this is how grace works in your life in those 2,000 years. This is how grace operates. You do good works. This is your life in every respect at work. And your good behavior, if you will, at work is juxtaposed again to our gospel. We're adorning the doctrine of God our Savior. You're living the gospel right at work for 2,000 hours a year. So what that means is that you're active doing your job description for sure. You're not doing these things, and you are doing some things because there's people around you who need Christ. Every one of you, your primary mission field, you spend 2,000 hours a year with them. And so maybe that would give us an incentive to carve out a little bit more time in our prayer life for those people. Just one aspect of next things to be sure. Then we go to chapter 3. Right, we already read this. The first couple of verses remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient to every good what? Good deed. To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Now, apparently, religious people don't like to be submissive to governmental authority. Do you hear what I said? I think we all struggle with authority to a certain degree, for sure. My soul does. But apparently in this particular church, they were struggling with that. But Paul's telling Titus to tell the people he's shepherding, listen, when it comes to working within your own civic arena in Wixom or in the region beyond, maybe if you have an opportunity to be a state representative, or even if you go a region beyond that and you go to a state congressman or a state senator or a U.S. congressman or senator, wherever you go, wherever you operate, maybe if you're not going to hold that title, but you're going to be a janitor in the state house, or you're going to be, right, a secretary in the local city council office, wherever you are, this is the way we're supposed to be in our disposition, but then there's action here. Dispositionally, we're not to be like the religious ones who cannot respect and love and subject themselves to rulers and not be maligning, but we are to be peaceable, gentle, showing consideration for all men. That's our disposition, but our action is what? Good deeds. Good deeds. These are the next things. These are the evangelistic next things. Whether it's at work 2,000 hours a year or whether it's in our community. The majority of what's been done politically in our community over the last 3 years, I completely disagree with. But if we understand the grace of God that acted upon my dead soul, and how that operates in the church, but then how that also operates into evangelistic next things, I don't see them as politicians that I disagree with, that I get to be angry with, that I don't get to submit to. I see them as God sees them. Because God only sees two kinds of people in the world, saved and unsaved. Period. And that's our job to do what? Be this to our communities. So what do? We put hands and feet to this grace. Every year I personally deliver 40 handmade chocolate baskets full of Christmas confections in this cellophane wrap, nicely decorated bowl this gal Lauren at Culinaire Provence makes for us. She calls me before Thanksgiving every year. Or how many bowls this year, Pastor Tim? And now we've gotten so many, I have a little team that goes with me. We take them to every fire department, every police department, every local city office, city council directors, parks and recreation people. We take them all, right? And they know it's coming. And when they see us, they know we disagree with them, but our love for them is greater than our disagreement with them. And that has provided so much gospel conversation. Why are you doing this? Why? Oh, we love Jesus. We're amazed at what Jesus did for me, for us. And all we want to do is share the love of Jesus and come on over to our Christmas play where you can hear more about him too if you want. But that's just one example of throughout the whole year how people have identified clerks at gas stations and grocery stores and banks and organizations and schools in their town. And there's hundreds of people doing good deeds now. To front offices of elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges, institutions. People just wake up in the morning and they see the next things. And they want to put hands and feet by God's grace because he enacted this great work upon them. They can't help themselves but enact a good work of God's grace for those who still need Jesus. Your kids can participate in this. They can do it with you. I had a little teacher at Lake Elementary School not far from our house who was passing away of terminal cancer, right? And so the kids at Lake Elementary School from our church got together with some parents, their parents, right? And they just decided to focus on this lady and her family for prayer. Started a card ministry, gift basket ministry, right? Just loved on her. Why are you doing this? We just want to share the love of Jesus with you in any way we can. We're praying for you that you heal, right? But when you love people like that, do you think that opens up a door to talk about Jesus? It's like a hot knife through butter. We just haven't been evangelizing our communities like that. We have events and we invite them in when the most powerful two-letter word in the English language is the first word that Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. What? Go. Don't bring them in. Go. And these are the next things of good works in the book of Titus. And it continues, folks. It continues. I trust as you listen to your pastor go through the book of Titus that you'll understand this. By the way, most of New Testament books are bookended by one word, and that's the word grace. Titus is too, right? Your pastor's probably already pointed that out to you, right? Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, and then Titus chapter 3 and verse 15, the last phrase, grace be with you all. Everything the church does is all because grace has been acted upon her, and so she acts in grace. Everything. So keep that greater context. But understand this too. When Paul, Peter, any New Testament writer writes to the local church, they're writing assuming the people that they're getting their letters are born again. They'll address the unbelief if it's there, but they're generally writing to people they believe are going to receive what's been written and act upon it. When you look at Titus as a pastoral epistle, or 1 and 2 Timothy, which you've probably already preached through, correct? When you look through Titus as a pastoral epistle, just know this, my friends. Just know this. Every time Paul writes, he's writing to believers, but every time he writes so they'll be stronger within, so there'll be a brighter light without. You cannot read any New Testament author without seeing their evangelistic heart and their pity and their love for lost people. It's right there in the written page. Okay? And that's the next things of good works. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you so much for the wonderful privilege it's been to spend some hours with these sweet people. Lord, we're thrilled with what you're doing here in Wixom. And Lord, throughout the state of Michigan. Lord, I pray that you would continue to, in your own divine strategic way, unite our hearts together for a greater pursuit of gospel purpose in our states, our regions, and our country, in our world. For First Baptist of Wixom this morning, maybe there's a kid, a child, teen, adult, who's thinking already of a face, of a place, in a place that the Spirit of God's already burdened them for in relationship to the good works unto next things. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would go before them and help them to love in the way that you would have them love. For Christ's sake, only after first they've nurtured good deeds right here in their own flock. I pray, Lord, for the spiritual and physical protection of this church. And I pray, Lord, for a greater bond of fellowship among us for Christ's sake in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, brother. Just really, thank you all. You don't even know me, and you let me take your pulpit, so it's good to be with y'all. Yeah.
stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the words to see. But this joy is mine. Resurrection means I'll rise. There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done. I have eternity to try. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory. To the King of Heaven, praise, for He rose, now He reigns. We will sing forever, praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.